So, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning to read at verse 1. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James and to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it's true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Let's just pray. Father, as we come to your word, please open our hearts and our minds to you. Help us to hear what you're saying. Help us to apply it to our lives. Help us to change, we pray. Lord, we know that this is not just an intellectual exercise. This is a spiritual thing, and we pray that you will be at work by your Spirit in our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. Kids could get the sheets. Thank you. So we're going to consider the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and ask ourselves, okay, Jesus died about 2,000 years ago, so what difference does it make to us today in Loftus in 2019? Why is it such good news to wake up this morning and celebrate afresh the resurrection of the Lord? Well, of course, we do it every Sunday, don't we? It's the Lord's Day, the day of resurrection. We do it every Sunday. But particularly today, on Easter Sunday, as we think particularly about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Now, we could spend our time in all the arguments and details trying to prove that Jesus truly did rise from the dead. All the evidence that there is, and many have gone into great detail about it. And if you're interested in that, I could put you in touch with various information to help you to think through the case, the logical case, the legal defence, why it would be that we would believe that Jesus rose from the dead. But that's not where I'm heading this morning. I'm going to assume, as we've read in this passage, that the Apostle Paul wasn't lying. The 500 and more eyewitnesses of Jesus after he rose from the dead weren't lying either. and that every other Christian in the New Testament wasn't living a lie. And with them, we believe that Jesus did indeed raise from the dead. The question is so what does it mean for us today? Now, we've obviously just jumped into the middle of a book, 1 Corinthians, a letter that Paul's writing to the church at Corinth. A church that he had established as he preached. In Acts chapter 18, you can read about it. He'd spent 18 months there teaching, and a church that he loved, but a church that had gone astray. And the letter is really correcting them and helping them to understand the truth. And he's pointing out things where they're at fault. And one of the most serious problems seems to be that there were some people in the church that were saying there was no resurrection from the dead. And that's what he's challenging and tackling in this passage in chapter 15. And the way he does it is to say to them, look, if there is no resurrection from the dead, then these are the consequences for us. And this is where we begin to see there's a connection for us. He says, look, there's five things that must naturally follow if there is no resurrection from the dead. And these are the five. You can see, I'll give you the verses as we go through. Firstly, our preaching is useless, verse 14. Or our preaching is in vain, is how it puts it here in the ESV. So kids, these are the list at the top. Our preaching is useless. Secondly, your faith is useless, verses 14 and 17. Your faith is in vain, or your faith is futile. Then he says, we are still in our sins, if that's the case, verse 17. If Christ did not rise from the dead, we are still in our sins. And then in verse 18, those that have died in Christ, so in other words, those believers that are now died, he says to them, if Christ is not died, then they have perished. They're lost. And he says, actually, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, then we are to be pitied more than all men. That's what he says in verse 19. So what I want to do this morning is look at those five things, but we're going to turn them round. Because we know that Christ was raised from the dead, so we can see that these five things are five things that are accomplished through the raising of Christ. Are you with me so far? So there's five things, if he didn't rise from the dead, which are terrible news, but because we believe that he did rise from the dead, these are five things that we can be very thankful about. So let's have a look at this first one. That our preaching, he said it would be useless. Our preaching would be like a chocolate fire guard. Our preaching would be like, any of you guys that do DIY, when you pick up your drill to use it, and the battery's dead. It's just like, what's the point of a drill with a dead battery? Our preaching would be pointless, ineffective, useless, if Christ was not raised from the dead. During the week, we'd had an email actually that said that on Amazon Prime, you can watch this video about Martin Lloyd-Jones. Now, we're on one of those month trials at the moment for free. So I thought, we'll watch that. And we listened to a documentary about Martin Lloyd-Jones for an hour and 40 minutes or something. And the one thing that you come away thinking is about the power of preaching. The man was absolutely convinced that what was required was not any fancy gimmicks, wasn't any latest trendy thing of this or trendy thing of that or the splashy lights or whatever. No doubt some of those things have a place, but none of that matters in the gospel sense if the gospel is being proclaimed. If someone is opening the scriptures and speaking the truth, God will honour that by his Spirit. And the power of God comes upon his word. And it was called, the actual title, I love the title, it was called Logic on Fire. That's what the video, you have to watch it for those of you at Amazon Prime. logic on fire. And it's so true, isn't it? When you hear the doctor, the preaching, he's very, it's all logical, but there's something of God's fire at work in him when he's preaching. And if Christ was not raised from the dead, all we are doing when the Bible is being proclaimed, when the preaching goes forth, when people are being told about what it is to become a Christian, we're just engaging in an intellectual exercise. There's no point to it. It's not going to be effective. But because Christ rose from the dead, it means that when we preach, people can be raised from spiritual death. I always picture Jesus standing outside the tomb of Lazarus and looking on the face of it. What a crazy thing he does. Lazarus, come out. He's been dead for 4 days. And you know, that's what a preacher is doing. A preacher is speaking to people who are spiritually dead and he's saying, come alive. Well, I can't make anyone come out of a grave alive, but God can. God can do that work. God can bring Lazarus out of the grave. And so, yeah, I want to encourage Jeff and encourage all the preachers this morning, whether they're here or not, to know the power of preaching, of declaring God's word. We're relying on the fact that Jesus rose from the dead, and therefore dead sinners can be raised from the dead. And I want to encourage you as well, if you're not a preacher, if you don't ever get that opportunity, or it's not something that you're gifted to do, we're all people who are proclaiming the gospel. Not necessarily from a pulpit or from a street corner, but across the fence to your neighbour. To your brother or sister, husband or wife, son and daughter. You're a proclaimer of the truth about Jesus. You're a witness that he was raised to life. And what the point of sharing this with people is that you might see them raised to spiritual life. As Christ rose, so can they. The message itself has life, is vibrant. It resonates in the soul. It's confirmed by the Spirit of God, and the gospel message achieves all that God wants it to achieve. And so if we are born-again believers, then we are a witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are saying to other people that Jesus is alive and is alive in me. And we're crying out, aren't we, that they would experience the blessing too of Christ in them. If you read the beginning of Acts, it's unmistakable. That's what they're being asked to do. Go and be witnesses that Jesus has risen from the dead. The message that we preach is a message of resurrection. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greeks. So firstly, what's the consequences of Jesus rising from the dead? It gives us a confidence in preaching the gospel and in sharing the good news about Jesus with other people. Secondly, the second thing that he said would be the case if Jesus hadn't risen would be that their faith was useless, or their faith was futile, or their faith was vain. Well, let's turn that round. So he was raised from the dead. So our faith is very precious. Our faith is effective. Some people seem to think like believing in the Lord Jesus is like believing in a fairies. It's like going rock climbing, hanging on to a sewing thread. It's completely ineffective. No, the faith, genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is something that is dependable. It connects us with the thing that is reliable. Paul is utterly convinced that faith is not useless, but it's productive and precious. And it's through faith that we are saved. Colossians chapter 2 verse 12 says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you are also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus means that simple faith in him is what saves us. Just as Jesus was raised, then so are we, through simple faith. That's good news, folks. You know, if I stood here this morning and said to you, look, what you need to do to be saved is, well, you need to go and climb Everest. You need to go and walk across Australia. You need to go around the world on a boat. You need to jump up and down 10 times. You need to stand on your head and read this thing every day. There'd be people that would try it. But it would be impossible. We're being told that there's a very simple way of being saved. It's humbling ourselves to say, I can't do it. But you can. Believing that Jesus is able to save us, that he was raised from the dead and he can raise us. Simple faith. Thirdly, the terrible thing that would happen if Jesus was not raised from the dead is this, that we would still be in our sins, it says in verse 17. So let's turn that round. So he is raised from the dead. So our sin has been dealt with. We are not any longer in our sins if we have trusted in Christ. What a terrible thing it would be to discover that we were still in our sins. Have you ever been really let down by somebody? Perhaps you've been encouraged to go and, I don't know, see a film and they said it was wonderful and or you go and read this book, it's fantastic, and you open the first page and you thought, I just can't stand this book. Or you've just been let down by them. They said they would do something and they didn't. What a terrible thing it would be if we discovered that we were still in our sins. But Paul is confident. He's saying, no. No, our sin has been dealt with because Jesus rose from the dead. The fact that Jesus rose from the dead is evidence that his sacrifice was accepted. When he hung on the cross, when he paid for our sin, the cost to him as he laid his life down for our sin, when the sin of the world was being placed upon him, an unbearable place for him to be as he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? If the story stopped there, and there was no news about resurrection, we would be scratching our heads and thinking, well, was that accepted? Was that gift enough? Was that sacrifice enough for us? Well, of course it was. Romans 4:25 says that Jesus was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Justification. It's a legal word, like being acquitted, being told that you're innocent. The price has been paid, the punishment's been served, you're free to go. That's what's happened. We are no longer in our sin because Christ has paid the price and has declared that it's been paid in full. The stamp's been on the bill, paid in full. The resurrection shows that there has been a victory over sin. We went to a service over at the Congregational Church in Whitby on Friday evening, and Mark Laz was preaching about the death of death. That was a lovely title, The Death of Death. There is a victory over sin and over death. It's been beaten. The resurrection proves it. We are no longer still in our sin. Fourthly, So we've had preachings, powerful and effective. Faith now is not in vain, but achieves that for which it's placed upon. Our sin has been dealt with. Fourthly, the dead in Christ are saved. What a comfort it is to know that the believers that we know from our past and believers that we read about in history, they are not lost. They are not perished. They are with the Lord. We thought on Friday, Jeff mentioned it in his prayer, that the thief on the cross was told, "Today you will be with me in paradise." All those that have gone before us, all those who have walked the path of faith, are now with the Lord Jesus. What assurance it brings to know that this depends upon what Christ has done and his resurrection, not upon our performance in this world. What a terrible place we would be in if we could just look back at Christians of the past and wonder where they are. Wonder if it's true. Wonder if they're with the Lord. What a tragedy it would be for all those people if they'd invested their lives in this thing. They've worked and they've laboured serving the Lord, and it's all come to nothing. And now they're just whatever. We moved house from Middlesbrough a few months after we finished doing the kitchen. You know, I'm thinking about the kitchen here. We just spent ages and spent quite a lot of money sorting the kitchen out. It had been something that we wanted to do, and eventually we got the money to do it, and we didn't know when we started that we were going to be moving on, that the Lord was going to call us to mask. And it seems like you put all this labour into it. I did a lot of the work myself, and I thought, oh, I was, you know, sort of quite proud of what I'd done. And you think, oh, I've got to. I suppose it might have helped us sell the house, I don't know. All that labour and all that effort, and it seemed to come to nothing. We didn't even enjoy it. That's not what we get with the Lord, is it? The people that have laboured in the Lord are now with him, enjoying his presence, eternal glories. And so the same for you today. If you're following Christ, there'll be a day where you'll be with him. You'll see him face to face as he is. The dead in Christ are saved. What a blessing it is to think about that assurance of what Christ has done for us. Dying and raised to life. If there's nothing else this morning that fills your heart with gladness, I hope it's that. That thinking about Christ resurrecting gives you an assurance that you too one day will be with him. And here's finally the eternal hope from verse 19. What does it say in verse 19? "If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied." If the gospel message was about this life, if it was about achieving happiness here in this life, if it was about making things easy in this life, we are to be pitied more than all men, he says. All the energies we invested are just for now. One day they'll be gone. No, he says, that's not true. Because Christ is raised from the dead. And therefore, we have a hope that goes through the grave. There's something that's going to last right through the grave. Can't think of anything else, can you? Your relationship with Christ perseveres through the grave. Everything else will go. The money in the bank, family you've been enjoying, status in life, whatever. It's all going to have gone. But the one thing that continues into eternity is your relationship with the Lord Jesus. You know, I was thinking on the other side of this that it would be a bit like a... To have hope just for this world would be like, you know, the parable of the treasure seeker, or the parable of the pearl merchant. It would be like finding some treasure in a field, buying the field, selling everything you've got for that field, digging down and getting the treasure out, and then realizing it's not real after all. Or finding a pearl that seems to be worth giving up everything for, and you get the pearl and actually it turns out to be plastic. To be a sham. But no. No, it's true. It is treasure. The pearl is real. Being part of God's kingdom gives us an eternal hope that never is can be taken, never is fades, never goes from us. Our hope is not limited to this life. Listen again to what it says in 1 Peter chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. Friends, if you're trusting in the Lord Jesus this morning, you're trusting in his resurrection, that is an eternal hope that cannot be taken away from you. If Christ did not raise from the dead, then it's not. But he has done, so it's eternal. So through Christ's resurrection, God confirms to us his promises. A true, powerful gospel to proclaim. A message which is worthy of staking our lives on in faith. I've said before about this, you know, I went abseiling once, or twice. And it always makes me think, when I look at the rope and I think about my weight, I think, is this really, you know, you have to have a bit of a think about it. Is this sensible? It's like faith. We need to think about it. Is this thing we've got faith in reliable? Is it trustworthy? It is. We've found a way of dealing with our sin and from our separation from God. We find in this passage assurance of salvation for all those who are in Christ. And we find a living hope for the future. Now, I hope that stirs your heart. I hope you feel uplifted by the fact that Christ was raised from the dead, and it blesses us with this confidence. And I hope too that it stirs our hearts to think, do people around me know that? Do my neighbours know this? Do people on this road know about this? Have they got this eternal security? And so as we close, let's just pray, not only for ourselves, but also for those around us, that they might know the joy of being confident of Christ's resurrection and know his power in their lives today. Let's pray.